All right, Coach, you've seen adversity before. You've been in this situation before where you have to bounce back from a very tough situation, and you didn't have a lot of time to get ready for that one, but now at least you have a full week knowing you don't have Deshaun, getting the offense ready for the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, it's we have to play better. I mean, we have to coach better. We have to play better. We left a lot of plays out on the field, and, defense played good enough for us to win. Special teams played well. So we have to pick it up on offense. That's it's what we have to do.
Coach, you talked about that during your press conference, and you said, hey, this one's not really on the defense. What did you see from the defense that you really liked? Obviously, they got a couple of big plays to T.Y. Better than that, what did you see from the defense that you really liked?
Yeah, I thought they did overall a decent job of stopping a run, which was one of the keys. I mean, they gave up a couple big runs, but overall there were a lot of zero-yard gains, one-yard gains, some TFLs. I thought they did a good job. And then when we had to have it, they got good pressure on the quarterback. They made some shots. They hit some shots, and that hurt us. But, I thought Eddie strip sack at the end of the half was huge. I really thought that was going to be the one that turned it around for us. So it was good to see them play that way, But what I told the team is, that we've had very few games other than maybe Tennessee, maybe Cleveland, and a little bit in Cincinnati where we've played complimentary football. Otherwise, it's either been, the defense hasn't played well and the offense has played well, or flip it, offense hasn't played well and the defense has played. We have to put together a full game, a full complimentary game.
At the end of the first half, you're calling timeouts trying to get the football back. And at the same time, if they keep going, obviously they keep going because they had some time and timeouts. But you kind of forced them to be aggressive, or tempted them to be aggressive, and it paid off for you with the Eddie P. sack.
Yeah, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to put them in a situation where they have to, do what you just said. They have to decide what they're going to do. You can't go into the locker room with all three timeouts. You have to use them. Now the last one I used after that, when we scored, and I knew they could probably run the clock out, but at least you're making them have to make that decision. I'm talking about after the touchdown when they got the ball right back, off the kickoff. I was like, let's try to see what they do here, try to still get the ball back. So I think we did a good job there at the end of the half, and we didn't finish the game we wanted the way we wanted to, but we did a good job having one timeout at the end of the game. I mean, we had a 12 play drive and had four downs inside the 6 yard line and just couldn't get it in. So I thought all that was pretty good yesterday.
Coach, at the very end of the game, you get four cracks at the end zone. Isn't that exactly what you want to have when you get the ball down there? I mean, because we talked about it and thought, man, you got four cracks at it. That's exactly what you want, as opposed to spiking and only getting three. You actually got four of them and took your time out to discuss that last play. Isn't that exactly what you want?
Yeah, no, I know.
Well, because we heard all the questions,
right,
too. We were thinking, hey, this is fine,
right,
because you still have the timeout in case he takes a sack.
Spike. These clock management questions, I'm telling you, people have no idea what they're talking about. This is, when there's under a minute and you have one timeout and you need a touchdown to win, you need to save that timeout for a fourth down discussion. If you're having if there's a fourth down play, a gotta have it type play, you need that timeout to really think about what that play is going to be. We had four shots to the end zone from the 6 yard line. If we spike the ball, we only get three shots.
Right.
It doesn't even make sense. That argument doesn't even make sense. But, there's a lot of experts out there when you lose, and that's the way it goes. And, we just have to do a better job.
Yeah, you mentioned execution being the big thing here, because you liked some of the plays you had drawn up. You liked some of the things you had designed going into the game. Take us back to the planning for this one, because you really probably had to reconstruct a whole lot of things starting Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, no, it was, we had to, more than anything, probably take some things out. Didn't add too much, but we had to take some things out. And, it was tough. I mean, look, Tom, we all have to do better. Tom has to play better. We have to coach better. We have to make quicker decisions in the passing game. And, we have to run the ball better. But, I think with a full week of practice, I think that'll really help us.
You're not one to make excuses, but it seemed that during the game, losing Ryan Griffin was a big factor. I would think he would have been a huge factor in the game plan the way it was set up for this one.
Yeah, we only had two tight ends going in. Steven played well, especially on that last drive. He made some big catches for us, but we only had two tight ends going into the game. And then when you lose one, and it's Griff, it's tough because he's a big part of the game plan. So, you know, it is what it is. You have to manage.
Were you running Lamb as a pure tight end, not a receiving tight end, but a pure tight end on some of those plays? It looked like he was set up where Ryan might have been.
Yeah. He definitely played what we call heavy tight end, and he did. Excuse me. He did some nice things. You know, he blocked pretty well, and he's done that for us in the past. And you know, we had to have him yesterday, and he pried open some holes.
You know, Anderson nearly came up with that one in the back of the end zone because I think when you called it, you thought it was incomplete. Anderson actually caught that ball on the second down, but he happened to be out of bounds. I don't know if Tom was throwing that away, but that was a heck of a football catch. But speaking of tight ends, Coach, getting CJ back potentially this week, what does that mean not only for pass game, but also for your run game to have him back?
Yeah, it's big. I mean, anytime we can get him back, he does a good job of blocking the edge and he's been good in the passing game. You know, last year he had a big year in the passing game. You know, he's just having to deal with these concussions. So hopefully he's past that and we get him back, and that's a big thing for our football team because he brings a toughness to our offense and he helps in so many different ways, run blocking, and then in the passing game he helps a lot. So it's good to get him back.
All right, you're looking at the L.A. Rams now, and they obviously had a big game against the Giants. You talked about Wade Phillips during the press conference a little bit, but you kind of know what he does, and obviously you see it on film, but you know the history behind it as well when you're planning for a guy like this.
Yeah, he's one of the best. I mean, he creates a very attacking style defense that, you know, it's an up the field defense. It's a man to man defense. It's what football is all about. I mean, he does a great job on third down with his third down blitz package. And, you know, sometimes he gives you the illusion that he's blitzing and then he doesn't blitz. I mean, then it's the other way around. I mean, it's very difficult to deal with, so we're going to have to do a good job this week.
Coach, along those lines, I don't want to say you get a taste of your own medicine in some sense, but how much you will move your guys on defense? You get a guy named Aaron Donald. They'll move him around and do different things with him. How much of a challenge is it to face not only a guy that moves that much, but is as talented as he is?
Aaron Donald's one of the best interior linemen in the league. I mean, he just – and it's a lot of it has to do with, you know, obviously the way he plays his relentless style, but his body type, you know, he's kind of built low to the ground. And, you know, he's very, very difficult to get pad under pad on. And he's always on the move. And he's got a very aggressive style of playing. He's a very strong player, very instinctive player. So we're going to have to do a great job of, you know, probably having two guys on him most of the time.
And what else do they do as of right now? I mean, it's Monday. You got a long way to go, but that concerns you
about
this team.
The defense or the whole team?
How about the whole team?
Yeah, no, they're playing real well on offense. I mean, Gurley's running the ball well. Goff's playing well. You know, they've got Watkins has had some big down-the-field catches for him. They've got some receivers that are playing real well for him. I think they're one of the better teams in the league the way they're playing right now. And, you know, it's a big challenge for us. We got to have a good week of practice and go out there ready to go.
Coach, when you get ready for an opponent, and you start looking at the film, I know you obviously look at the scheme. How much in-depth to the individual player do you get when you start getting ready for a game? Because you just talked about Donald. I mean, you listed off a number of different assets. That doesn't come from just – I mean, you can see some of that from TV, but how much do you get in-depth to the actual player itself?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. I mean, you have a pretty good idea what the scheme's going to be with Wade most of the time. You know, there'll be some third-down things you're going to have to deal with that are new, but – you know, then you have to look at the individual player, you know, how they play their corners. Are they right and left? Do they match? You know, how do they play their nickel? Does he travel with the slot? Does he not? You know, how do they play their safeties? Are they right and left? Or is there a down safety and a post safety? And what type of safeties are they? You know, so those are all things, you know, defensive lineman-wise, you have to study them. Those are all things that, you know, once we get into this thing, we're trying to, you know, see how our guys match up against their guys, no doubt about it.
Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. Mm. This is a historic building, really. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on going in there? I know you're all about the X's and O's and getting
cool,
ready for the game.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I've never been there, so I've never coached there or been there. So it'll be really neat to coach a game there. And, I mean, think about the history of that place. I mean, all the old clips you see all the time of the Super Bowls or, you know, Notre Dame USC or USC UCLA or, you know, just some great football games, national championship games that have been played there, the Olympics. I mean, it's a historical place. It's going to be cool to be there.
But and going out to the West Coast again, you were there 2 weeks ago, and you performed well in that game against Seattle. So that has to help you out, knowing the time difference and all of that stuff is going to factor in.
Yeah, I think so. I think our guys, they like leaving on Saturday. You know, we'll leave Saturday, and we'll get out there, and we'll have some meetings when we get out there. But, you know, I think these guys have an idea of how to prepare for that type of travel, and they'll be ready to go.
Coach, you talk about this a lot, and it feels like had you gotten that yesterday, maybe the game goes a little differently. But getting out on a good foot, getting off to a good start, especially offensively, putting a 3 or 7 up on the board, how important is that to do that against this team this week?
It's very important. I mean, this team's scoring a lot of points. Hopefully we can, you know, hold them. But, you know, they're scoring a lot of points. So if we go out there and we don't start fast like we did against – you know, Indianapolis, we just couldn't get going, that we're going to be in trouble. So we have to get off to a good start. We have to get going faster than we have, you know, last week, and try to, you know, do like we did against Seattle. You know, we got off to a real good start there, and that was great to see, and we need to do that again this week.
Does that affect the way you practice and get Tom ready, for instance? You try to simulate those situations differently as opposed to schematically?
Yeah, no, I think it's important to start every team period trying to emphasize getting off to a good start, mm-hmm. whether it's with a – you know, a good run or, you know, some type of pass that you really feel like, you know, will be completed because you know what the coverage is going to be, whatever it is. It's really something we preach all the time. And we've actually, you know, up until yesterday, we had been doing a pretty good job of that. But, you know, yesterday we just couldn't get going.
I know you gave up the sack at the end, Coach, with Jabal Sheard. In fact, I think you got both of them. But overall, offensive line protection yesterday, how do you think it went? You started Julian at left tackle. Then you went with Clark, and then you talked about him being banged up throughout the week, but he got out there in the second half. How do you think the offensive line protected overall?
Yeah, I thought it was decent. I mean, look, there were times where, you know, it could be better, but, you know, I think they've steadily improved, and we have to keep improving because, you know, like there's a good pass rush here with L.A., and, you know, we have to be ready for that. But I thought it was decent. I thought you got guys working together, and I thought Julian hung in there. Had a couple plays he wished he could have back, but, you know, I thought those guys, you know, did a decent job yesterday.
You know, the O-line's such a close-knit group, and the guys talk about Breno Giacomini a lot. You know, we don't see a lot of what goes – we don't see any of what goes on behind closed doors with those guys, and they're always together. But you can see him on the field as a leader, as a guy who's been around the block a little bit, the way he interacts with the other players.
Yeah, Breno's a great guy. I mean, he's definitely a leader. He's on the leadership council. He's a tough guy. He's been around, like you said, for a long time, and he's seen a lot. And so he's got a good demeanor about him. He plays the game in a very nasty physical way, which is good for offensive linemen. And he's definitely developed into a leader quickly here, you know, just having got here in the offseason. But, yeah, he's definitely a leader.
Nick Martin, let's put him in the spotlight for a moment because this is his first season, really. He missed all of last year. Being around here does help, but this is the first time playing. So how's he doing with your quarterbacks?
Yeah, no, he does a good job. I mean, Nick's really smart. Him and Deshaun and Tom, they're all very close. Same with Greg Mantz. You know, Greg Mantz's a great guy, too, his backup. And, you know, Nick's played well for us. You know, Nick's basically a rookie, so – you know, because he didn't play at all last year. Now, he's not a rookie anymore. He's a veteran. But, I mean, you know, this is the first year he's played this much football in the NFL. So, you know, it's getting better and better. And I know he's going to end up being, you know, one of the really, really top centers in this league, I think.
Coach, after a couple of straight losses, close losses, tough losses, how important is it for your leadership council to really step up and take charge in front of your young players this week?
Yeah, I mean, look, we got a resilient bunch of guys. That those leaders are great guys. You know, they're not gonna let guys just walk around self pity. You know, it's pity party. That's not what this league's about. It's what we talked about today. I mean, it's a tough league. These games are close games. Most of them come down to the fourth quarter, like a lot of our games have this year, and we haven't been able to get over the top on those. And you know that's something I got to do a better job of. But our team. You know, our team is resilient, and they'll show up every week and fight.
Guys play through so much in this league. Jonathan Joseph, at one point, we got a report that he was questionable to return, and the next play is back out there.
Yeah, I know.
And usually questionable during the game.
Means you're out. Right?
Yeah, it's not a high percentage chance that you're coming back, but he comes back. We saw John Weeks, who he's been on the injury report with a knee issue, but he's out there every game, and he's doing the job for you.
Yeah, no, there's so many tough guys on our roster. I mean, just really tough guys that, I mean, you know, you could probably go down and talk about every guy. DJ Reader's playing with a, you know, banged up shoulder. Bernard McKinney, you know, all those guys are banged up in some way, shape, or form. And you know, you talked about Breno, Chris Clark, those guys. You know, they're Jeff Allen's playing banged up. All these guys are tough. I mean, that's what they are. You know, that's when they sign up to play football, and especially at those interior positions. You know, it's a tough deal, especially this time of the season. And you know, we're going to try to get them treatment, probably not being pads as much moving forward, and, and getting ready to play on Sundays.
Is there a point, Coach, where you have to get to where you can only practice a few times the rest of the year in pads?
I think you're allowed 11 straight weeks and then 3 out of the last 5 weeks, so 14 total.
One of the guys we haven't mentioned, you mentioned John Weeks, Mark did. Shane Leckler has been punting the ball
great,
unbelievably. Yeah. I mean, 4 drives for Indianapolis start inside their 10-yard line.
Kept us in the game.
Yeah.
No doubt. I mean, last week, he had a 51-yard average. This week it was like 48, but it was like 45 net. I mean, it was great. You know, he's doing a great job. Coverage units are doing a good job. You know, so it's been good to see our gunners are playing well. Chris Thompson and Jordan Todman, they're disruptive, and it's been good.
And this is a group in the Rams where special teams has been a big boost for them, yeah, which we'll talk about Goff and the defense and all that, but their special teams have been really good.
Yeah, no, they do a good job. They got a good scheme. You know, Fossil does a great job coaching them up. That's going to be a big matchup for us.
How far back do you go with Jared Goff? Do you go to last year or just stick with this year because this is his more successful season?
Yeah, I mean,
and
pretty much focus on – yeah, different coaching staff. I think pretty much you focus on this year. You know, we'll peek at all of it. But, you know, I think you got to focus on what he's doing with Sean. I mean, Sean's done a great job with this guy. You know, this guy's playing playing good football. And you know, I think Sean has had a great impact on his career.
So we talked about Dick LeBeau a few weeks ago being 80, and now you have Sean McVay, who's 30, getting this job. Lands the head coaching job at 30 years old.
I mean, I remember when he was playing at Marist High School in Atlanta, Georgia. He was wishbone quarterback. I was at Georgia Tech. That's how old I am.
Well, how about getting a head coaching job at 30 years old?
He's a very bright guy, awesome guy, really energetic, really smart, great play caller. I mean, he deserves it. I mean, they did a good job, obviously, when he interviewed, and he's done a good job this year for him.
Did you recruit him? Because he can have a chip on his shoulder.
I told him the last time I saw him at the owners' meeting, I said, I remember you, Coach Chadwick, Marist High School. He's like, wishbone quarterback. I said, yep. I don't know if we recruited him, though. We weren't. They're running the wishbone now at Georgia Tech. We weren't running the wishbone then like that.
Right, so. Right.
Speaking of high school, how cool would it have been when you were in high school to have played a football game in Fenway? How cool would that have been?
Yeah, Brown-Dartmouth.
Yeah, how about that? They got a whole weekend, a couple weekends of games, the Fenway Gridiron Series. Yeah. There's a bunch of games going on in Fenway. How cool is that?
I just got a text from one of our mutual buddies about big contingent of alums going to that game.
Yeah.
Brown's kind of struggling this year, though.
Yeah, they're struggling. But, yeah, Brown's playing
Friday. That's
cool,
though. That's cool, yeah. Is that Friday?
Yeah, it's Friday, and then Maine and UMass, BC High and Catholic Memorial are playing there. Mark says that's a rivalry. He says it's going to be a good one.
Yep, BC High, CM, and St. John's Xavarian. Those are the two big rivalries.
Yeah,
Xavarian's huge. That Fenway game, that's got to be cool to be able to play. How do they do that? Although I remember BC played Notre Dame there, right?
Yeah, yeah. Will's last year they played there.
That'll be cool to see that, how they set that football field up.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's tough on TV, watching on TV, but I would imagine being there, that's going to be pretty cool. I mean, to say, I played a game at Fenway.
That's got
to
be very cool. That'll be fun for those kids to play in that game.
So there are two St. John's, right? Your St. John's was the Xavarian rival?
There's one St. John's.
Oh, sorry.
St. John's of Danvers, Massachusetts.
Whoops. Though.
There's one in Shrewsbury. No,
that's what I was thinking.
There's two. Yeah, no, there's two.
That's the other.
And Xavarian's where the Hasselbecks went, right?
Yes, yeah, a lot of good players at Xavarian, the Hasselbecks, and bunch of other guys. Dana Barros, remember, played.
Oh, yeah, BC.
BC.
Yeah.
He was a Xavarian guy.
Any good players come out of your St. John's?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've had Bobby Carpenter, was a great hockey player. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was in high school. I think he was the first American-born hockey player to be drafted in the first or top 10 or something like that. So he was on the cover.
Outstanding.
1970s. Paul Sorrento, remember, first baseman for the Rangers and he was a St. John's guy. Several others. Remember fullback Rob Conrad for the Miami Dolphins? Heard about him getting lost in the ocean and surviving.
Exactly.
He was St. John's.
Syracuse,
guy.
Right?
St. John's education coming through.
Yeah.
Syracuse, Rob Conrad?
Syracuse, yep. 44. They gave him 44.
I'm sending this to the Alumni Association of your high school. How about that?
Yeah.
All right, so here we go with the Rams this week, but I wanted to address this. Amogee Bank of Texas, Bill O'Brien, question of the week. I've got two of them for you. First one, your kid, Michael, practicing sports, playing Little League, and schoolwork. How do you balance those two?
That is a question for Colleen, not for me.
Well, you must have some intel on this.
She is on top of him about his schoolwork. Now, she was straight A's. She was like Johnny. She was magna cum laude from Boston College.
Lawyer.
I mean, she was smart. You know, I was I don't even, I mean, it's not even close. She definitely is the smartest person in our family by far. But I always tell her that's there's a low bar. It's a low bar. No, but she's, you know, Michael has certain things that he's got to get done. He's got book reports or a science project or whatever it is, and then he can't play unless he gets it done. So he gets it done. I actually give him credit. He goes to a tough school, that St. Vincent's over there. There's a lot of homework.
Yeah.
It's not the same as when we were in the sixth grade.
I didn't do any.
I didn't even get homework in sixth grade.
I think it's seventh grade. Sorry, I think I'm deducting a year
from
but
him.
No, he's seventh grade. But yeah, he definitely there is a balance. You know, there is a balance. Yep. And
a lot of practice in Little League.
A lot of Little League baseball. Now it's hoops right now.
Oh yeah,
they practice every. He comes home worn out. That coach, they run the suicides and he runs them. He gets them in shape.
Got to be in shape for that hoops.
No question.
All right, here's the other question. And a fan wants to know, what's your favorite Texans uniform combination? You must have an opinion. All blue or blue top?
No, blue pants. I'm not a big fan of the all white. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm probably going to get in trouble for that.
No, no, it's all right. I mean, everybody's got an opinion.
I'm
so,
with you.
So
I'm not,
blue top,
I like the color
pants.
Rush. I love the color rush.
Oh, uniform. That was cool. Yeah.
But I definitely want the blue. And I like the blue and the red top.
Yeah, there we go.
Love the blue and the red top.
He did not like that at all. He did not like that at all.
Until we won. It grew on me when we won.
I don't think I like that as – let me see if I can articulate this the right way. I don't love any uniform as much as I dislike the all-white.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Got it. Don't like the all-white. We wrote that down. Noted.
I don't know who that memo goes to, but it won't matter. Like, it's not my call. But
yeah. Well, how do the players
feel?
But
I do love our uniforms. I love the helmet. You know, I really do. I think we have a great uniform. I really do.
The Rams in that white, that looks different. Different look for them,
Rams
for sure.
I think all the uniforms. I mean, the NFL, it's some of these colleges that have the craziest uniforms. I mean.
It's like incredible. Every week.
Some of them are like the Penn
State.
That's
why you went to Penn State, because you just had one uniform.
Simple.
It was like, that's it.
I like the simpler uniforms.
It's
look at Notre Dame and Alabama and Ohio State. They have like pretty simple, although Ohio State's mixing up theirs a little bit. When I saw, they had an all-black thing for the Penn State game. But
yeah.
Some of these teams, like Maryland. Have you seen Maryland's helmet?
They got the state flag on their helmet.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like the state flag.
Looks like a Van Gogh painting.
Well, they just had one. They just had one just recently where it was. They looked like Tour de France. You know, the Tour de France. They have the yellow jersey for the leader. That's what they looked like. They had black
pants must change it every week.
It looks
like
a taxi. I'm like, why would you wear that?
Yeah,
I don't get it.
But I like the. I love our uniform overall. I really do.
Excellent, Coach. Thanks a lot for the time. Best of luck this week preparing.
Thanks, guys.